Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we broadcast from our basement out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. I'm a homeschooled father of five. My children are 17 to 26 years of age. Danny Craig in studio with me right now, a homeschool father of one. And she's what, 9 months old?
She's 7 months. Does that count?
That counts, absolutely. Okay, cool. Are you teaching her the word of God as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down?
Every day.
Okay, good. Then you qualify, my friend, to the homeschooling, home discipleship movement. And, you know, I was at the Colorado caucuses last night doing my political thing that I do from time to time, and which means that in Colorado, it's grassroots. You get involved at the grassroots and you elect certain state representatives that will go to the state convention and so forth. So we did that last night, and a Hispanic small businessman and mayor of Parker, Colorado, showed up, and he was running for governor of the state of Colorado, and he gave a little speech. Good speech. And one of the things he mentioned was really interesting. He said, this is rough, but this is what I got out of the talk. He said, we need to encourage more small businesses and entrepreneurism. And, you know, this college thing, it may be okay for some, but it's a waste of time and money. And we got to get away from this college thing that all of our kids need to go to college because it's such a waste of time and money. Now, this is a candidate for the gubernatorial race.
That's not very popular.
You know, I would think that not many people would resonate to that right now because college is still seen as something of the sacred cow. And if you say anything that might undermine the sacredness of this cow, you're going to be in trouble.
We're in trouble.
I guess we will be in trouble. Not the first time
not
for the
first
radio
time.
Program. Yeah. But I think almost everybody is realizing that there's something not working. I do think that's true, that there's something that's not working about the college. It's just that nobody knows what to do about it.
So you keep doing the same thing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And college loans now have topped $1.5 trillion. That's a lot of debt. In fact, college debt is the reason for the increase in household debt in America since 2008. Everything else is pretty much flatlined, but it's college debt that has just burgeoned in America. We're at 11% default now. That $1.5 trillion of debt is up from $600 billion in 2008. And that's just in, what, 10 years? Isn't that something? That's like 250% increase since the last recession. That's not going to bode well, of course, for the future. But American colleges are spending some $500 billion per year on higher education. $500 billion per year on higher education. Also has the lowest efficiency in terms of graduates in the world, except for Austria. Friends, this bubble is about as big as it can possibly be. I think it's about to burst. People have talked about the college debt and the college dollar amount required to educate a young person over 4 years. It's out of control. It has increased several times over the rate of inflation since the 1970s, 1980s. And it's time now, friends, to reconsider whether the ROI on college is as good as it used to be. That is, the return on investments is nowhere near as good as it used to be. Why? Because the college debt is through the ceiling. It's expensive, and it doesn't really produce. And we're going to talk about the Business Insider article on this. Is college a waste of time and money? On this edition of the program, Brian Kaplan, he's an economics professor at George Mason University, has a new book out called The Case Against Education, which is interesting. He's an economics professor at George Mason University. And he's got a book out called The Case Against Education, Why the Education System is a Waste of Money. And evidently, he believes the current system of education is failing in America, and America should push for vocational education. What do you think? Do you think that education is a waste of time and money in America?
Well, you know, you talked about this bubble bursting, and the question came to mind, are we sad about this bubble bursting?
Well, maybe not. It's time, perhaps, to get out of the box. Now, of course, colleges have pretty much had the monopoly on worldview, and it has been a largely secular, anti-Christian worldview that's predominated.
Yeah, and I think it's tied to an overall perspective of life. I was just thinking about this the other day, that we think about college as a very important step on the path to success, where you do well in high school so that you can get really good grades, and you can do well on your SAT, and you can get into a good college, and you do really good in a good college so that you can get into a good grad program, and you do really good in a good grad program so you can get your a really good job, and then you do really good in that job so you can get your dream job someday. And it's part of an overall picture that I think doesn't really line up with the ultimate big picture of seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as well as it does with the American dream. And so because we have a different end goal, I'm not sure that I'm that concerned about this path not working out for most people.
Well, yes, in the sense that the motivation that most people apply to education is financial. It's materialistic. It doesn't put God's interests first. And inevitably, these things come down. If God's interests are not first, if the kingdom of God and his righteousness is not the first priority, then these systems, these empires will come down. Well, Brian Kaplan, economics professor at George Mason University, he says about 40% of the students don't even show up for class. He says when the students are there, they just look painfully bored. He says it seems to be entirely irrelevant to them while they're there. But his point is that college does work for some people. They just don't actually learn a lot of useful skills in school. They jump through the hoops, they impress their employers, and then they get a job. So that's what he says college is all about. It siphons out the people lacking character. When somebody gets a degree, he says, what it says is you've got intelligence, you've got a work ethic, you've also just got sheer conformity, you're willing to comply with social norms, and therefore you're employable.
That's exactly what Megan McArdle at Newsweek said a few years ago. She said, for many students, college and university is less about providing an education than a credential, a certificate testifying that they are smart enough to get into college, conformist enough to go, and compliant enough to stay there for 4 years.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the reality is that the educational quality isn't necessarily that great. There was a study done a few years ago that basically said that students showed no really significant improvement in the key areas of critical thinking, reasoning, writing between their freshman and sophomore years in college. So, you know, you think about what do employers really want? They want those key skills of critical thinking, writing, communication. And it was those skills that the researchers were not finding to be developed that well in college.
And I think what employers see when they see a four-year degree is that, oh, here's somebody who stuck with it for 4 years. And that siphons out a lot of the flaky millennials that are only going to show up for 4 months and then text you that they're not coming back to work tomorrow. No 30-day notice. Just, I'm a flake and I'm telling you I'm not coming back to work tomorrow. So, you know, they don't want that employee. They want the employee who will stick with them for 4 years. And they've got some assurance that's been the case if they've stuck with the four-year program. Well, we'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. God has revealed his truth to man in his word. God's truth is what postmodern man needs more than ever before now. But the authority of God's word has been under continuous attack for 200 years in this country. Every reformation of family, church, and nation will only come by a return to the truths of God's word. So now is the time to reintroduce the authority of God's word, the sufficiency of the scriptures, the power of the scriptures, and the equipping of scriptures to our families. It's time to bring the Bible back into our homes, our churches, and our nation. Generations is sponsoring the Bible Family Conference on August 10th and 11th in Washington, D.C., with speakers Ray Comfort, Ken Ham, Steve Green, Joel Beakey, and Douglas Bond. We have organized tours that will feature this nation's biblical Christian roots, and we have secured tickets to the new 430,000-square-foot Bible Museum. Take your family through this museum and check out a huge collection of Bible artifacts, amazing archaeological discoveries, and a Bible in American History exhibit. It's the ultimate family vacation to Washington, D.C. Friends, it's the Bible Family Conference, the week of August 7th, sponsored by Generations.org. Registration prices start at $59, and early registration ends March 31st. Back on the Generations broadcast, Kevin Swanson with you as we consider the worthwhileness of college in America. And this article from Business Insider indicates that college may be a waste of time and money. Brian Kaplan, economics professor of George Mason University, said that college is a waste of money on the macro. There are just some students who are able to make it work for them. So that's the point that he's made. And he also says it's time to think more in terms of vocational education, like what Switzerland and Germany do. And here's an article that came, I believe, out of CNN a number of years ago. Who needs college? The Swiss opt for vocational school. About two-thirds of 50 and 16-year-olds in Switzerland finish 9 years of obligatory schooling. They choose to continue their education through vocational education and training, a system that churns out skilled workers who are the backbone of the country's thriving economy. So far, this vocational school approach has been very successful. Less than 3% of Switzerland's young people are unemployed, as compared to 22% in European Union nations, and as compared to 12, 14, 16% in the United States. So the United States does not employ its young people. The European Union nations are not employing their young people. But Switzerland is big time employing their young people. Currently, approximately 58,000 Swiss companies provide a vocational training program to roughly 80,000 apprentices. Impressive numbers in a country of only 8 million people. So the point is that this is what the Swiss do, and it does amazing things for their economy. So in a day in which, of course, our economy is coming down, our college graduates have $1.5 trillion of debt saddling them, and where the college system provides one of the worst ROIs in the history of all investment. I think it's time for us to reassess and say, is there another nation that may be doing this better? It appears that Switzerland is doing it way better than we are. 58,000 Swiss companies provide vocational training slash mentorship programs to roughly 80,000 apprentices, and they've only got a youth unemployment rate of 3%. That's not bad.
You know, this is happening in other places, too. I was just speaking up at a conference in Saskatchewan, Canada, and I was doing a little talk on mentorship, so did a little research on what was going on in their particular province, and I found that young men in Saskatchewan are making more with apprenticeships than bachelor's degrees. Now, that's not true across all the provinces, but in Saskatchewan, you're actually going to make more if you go through an apprenticeship process than if you go and get your bachelor's degree. And I think the good news here is that, you know, we don't have to look at educational choices based off of employment rates. You know, we don't always have to wait, you know, 10 years or 5 years to say, okay, was this a good education methodology based on whether or not the kids get jobs? Because at the end of the day, I think there are some biblical principles that we can take into consideration that will guide us about these things. And I think one of the reasons that college is failing is because of the lack of life integration.
Right.
And I think you see this phenomenal quote that I came across a few years ago is from a professor in the higher education system. He's the professor emeritus, or at least at the time of the quote, the professor emeritus of mechanical engineering at MIT. Okay, so from the upper echelons of academia in the United States, he says this: education is much more subtle and complex and is likely to be accomplished through mentorship and apprentice-like interactions between a learner and an expert. Paper textbooks, 50-minute monologues, and passive learning are on the way out. We should be working toward making that transition as fast and efficiently as possible.
And we've been saying that for about 12 years of this ministry.
I know, but he's inside the box. And so I think what we need to do is, particularly if there's homeschoolers listening to this program who are already outside the box, there's a lot of homeschoolers who are actually very eager, I've found, to get back inside the box. But here you have the professor emeritus of mechanical engineering at MIT inside the box saying, hey guys, it's not that great inside the box.
Yeah, so try outside of the box and let's try some mentorship and entrepreneurship and such. And that's why our Kickstart program, and
exactly,
we'll talk about that in just a moment. We've got a Kickstart program that we recommend. It's a video slash workbook program for young folks who are part of our ministry or part of our Christian discipleship curriculum. And the other thing is the life integration element is so crucial in education. I bring this out in all of my homeschooling discussions and talks and conferences that we do across the nation. Life integration, of course, assumes that we must do the word and not just be hearers of the word. It's also interesting that Didascalia Apostolorum, one of the very, very first Christian documents in the history of the Christian church, talked about how to raise children, how to educate children, and church discipline and other aspects of it. But again, this was the wisdom from the church fathers, where the first thing they say when they talk about the education of young people is teach your sons handicrafts which are suitable and helpful to the fear of God, lest by means of idleness they serve voluptuousness, for not being educated by their parents. They wickedly do works like the heathen. And it recommends humility, teaching them the wisdom of God's word and so forth. So this being really essential, a part of the raising of young people all the way from the beginning of the Christian church. But the idea of teaching your children how to do basic work is been pretty much abandoned by most educational programs up to this point, but something we recommend very much as part of our curriculum.
Yeah, you know, manual labor kind of gets a bad rap in our society in some cases. And as I look back on my upbringing, I'm incredibly grateful for a mom and a dad who made me pull the weeds, who made me do the dishes, who made me get my hands dirty, because there's something about that ability to dig in, get your hands in the dirt, that kind of brings you down to earth, literally. And it can be a little bit of a guard against pride, too.
That's right. Know? I think it maintains a humility and potentially the fear of God. As you incorporate your children into your family economy, some of you may be asking, what is a family economy? Well, a family economy is much, much more basic than the education of your children. Be sure that you incorporate your children into the family economy as essential in the raising of kids. This is what families have done for about 5,960 years until the last 40 to 50 years where education has failed in America. Families used to have family economies, but we recommend the biblical theory of education that is life integrated, based in the family economy, that's rooted in the fear of God, that focuses on faith and character, prepares a child for life, for work and worship. Now, this is precisely what most education in America does not do.
Mm-hmm.
So the most basic principles of all education is not really being incorporated into the education that's provided by most schools in America. In fact, most schools in America do just the opposite of the biblical approach to education, which is life integrated, rooted in the fear of God, focused on faith and character, and prepares a child for life, work, and worship. We plan to include a family economics MP3 of all 25 talks concerning family economy for families that choose this new curriculum approach and order curriculum from our Christian Discipleship Curriculum Project at generations.org.
Yeah.
I think that's essential. I just dropped the email to the rest of the team, and I think the team agrees that it would be good to incorporate a freebie into every curriculum package shipped from Generations. So if you buy the Christian Discipleship Curriculum for 8th through 12th grade, soon 7th through 12th grade, we will throw in a copy of the Family Economics MP3 that includes some 25 talks on these subjects. This is so vital for the education of our kids, Danny.
Yeah, and part of this has to do with just an emphasis on character, too. One of the things that I think makes the Christian Discipleship Curriculum from Generations unique is that we have a track specifically dedicated to the subject of character. Because at the end of the day, education is about training and preparing the whole man, not just the mind. And there's a couple of tie-ins here. First of all, when we look at higher education, I think one of the things that concerns me is that you would hope that in the ages of 18 to 22, 23, 24, which are arguably some of the most defining in terms of a young man or young woman's vision for life, you would hope that one of the best things, the main things that they're getting in higher education is a really rock solid vision for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
But I'm not sure that they're getting that. The reason is because they're focused on just training the mind, not training the heart, not training the character.
Well, and the centrality of Christ and the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is so very, very, very essential in the education of our children that we are doing our best to incorporate this into our literature curriculum, our history curriculum. We want to be sure that we're bringing back a God-centeredness into the education of our children, every single aspect of the education of our children. The university system and the K-12 school system has become the major means whereby vast numbers of young people are apostatizing from the Christian faith. In fact, the drop-off now is about a 97% for the millennial generation in terms of a biblical worldview. Barna found that only 0.5% of Mosaics maintain something of a biblical worldview, down from 14% in their parents' generation. That's a 97% apostasy rate when it comes to our children believing in absolutes and the basics of a biblical worldview. So again, my friends, we are throwing the flag on the play, and we're pointing out that now is the time. Now is the time to begin to give your children a distinctively Christian worldview-based education. College has become the most powerful, virulent, anti-God, anti-truth, anti-Christian institution in America. The university system is as atheistic now as the Communist Party, as Nero's cabinet. I don't think I'm exaggerating things at all, my friends. As we consider the self-consciously liberal, anti-supernatural, materialistic worldview that is espoused by the higher education system in America, now is the time. Now is the time for parents to do something radically different. Here's survey data by the Higher Education Research Institute at UCLA. Again, this is UCLA. They've done the research and they've interviewed college professors and asked them, are you a liberal or are you a conservative? It turns out that the ratio in 2015 was 5-1, and that's up from 2-1. In other words, the ratio of liberals to conservatives now among college professors in America is 5-1, and that's up from 2-1 in 1990. So colleges way, way, way more self-consciously liberal, anti-God, anti-truth than they ever have been. And of course, more irrelevant than they ever have been as well. So again, my friends, more anti-God and more irrelevant than they've ever been in the history of the nation. Another survey of the 40 leading universities in the country published by Econ Journal Watch found the ratio of liberal professors to conservatives as 12-1. And get this, Danny, among the younger professors, the ratio was 24-1. 24-1. 24 liberal professors to one conservative professors in 40 of American leading universities. My friends, colleges are way more liberal today than they were in the 1980s. Christian colleges are in many cases just as bad. But why do red state parents, conservative parents, send their kids to blue state colleges to be sure that their kids will be taught by teachers who are 95-98% liberal? Now, parents, 95%-98% of these professors in American major universities are liberal. They're anti-God, they're anti-truth. And I think you need to ask yourself, do you want your children to be like these teachers? Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. That's Luke 6:40. So the question again for parents who are purposefully sending their kids to major universities in America where 95-98% of these professors are self-professed liberals. Question for parents, do you want your children to be like these teachers? This is the question that Jesus is posing to you today. I want you to seriously consider this question. Do you want your children to be like these teachers? That's one reason why we want to be sure we give our children a solid Christian discipleship curriculum for 12 years. Certainly through the junior high and high school years, which are the critical worldview years, their worldview is established between 7th grade and 12th grade more than other years. And so right now is the time to encourage, Danny, a biblical worldview-based curriculum like what we're providing mm-hmm. as part of the Generations Ministry.
Yeah, there's, you know, people say, okay, what is a Christian worldview curriculum? What does that really mean? And we've identified four pillars of what this curriculum is. First of all, it's a curriculum in which there's a focus on discipleship because, you know, discipleship is just inseparable from education. There's always going to be some kind of discipleship going on. And so what we emphasize is, first of all, the core of family discipleship, godly discipleship. And as kids get older, you're moving that discipleship into other godly influences within the church. So there's really an emphasis on discipleship. And by the way, that addresses on a very practical level one of the concerns with higher education, which is, if I don't get a degree, how am I going to get a job? The cool thing about more of a mentorship, apprenticeship-based approach is that you can actually walk along with people who can employ you, and they know your character. You don't have to have a degree to prove that you're employable because you've been in relationship with them. So the whole mentorship approach actually deals with one of those issues of, is this person certified to be employable? So anyways, family discipleship. Secondly, a biblical worldview. And I think a lot of people say, well, what is a biblical worldview? Is that just putting a worldview course in 12th grade? No. I mean, that's good, but we need more than that. We need the Word of God as a paradigm setter in every textbook, in every chapter. And hey, it wouldn't be a bad idea if the Word of God was on every
page.
Danny,
I like the idea of the frontlet between their eyes. This yeah. is the way it's presented in Deuteronomy 6, 7, that the word of God would be as a frontlet between their eyes, on the pillars, on the gates, everywhere. Every way they turn around, they're seeing God's word. And that's why we're trying to bring God's word into almost every page of their literature, every page of their history. Now, some people say, well, that's overdoing it, isn't it? It's not if you read Deuteronomy 6, 7 to 9, which is God's text on how to educate a child. God wants us to integrate his word into every experience of our children's mm-hmm. lives, especially as we present an academic approach.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing that as we've talked about developing this curriculum here, that's been mindset shifting for me is the idea of emphasis. What are we talking about, for example, in a history course? You know, what's most important? Are we most focused on the empires and the kingdoms of men, or are we most focused on what God is doing, what Jesus is doing in history? And that's why I'm so excited about the new Taking the World for Jesus course,
yeah.
is because as I think about myself as a young person, I want to do something with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And what God's doing on earth in his kingdom over the last 2,000 years is way more exciting than what's going on everywhere else.
And it's bigger than what Napoleon did.
And if my college class could give me that vision, could help me get that vision, because the history is rooted in a biblical emphasis on Jesus Christ in history, now that would be cool.
Amen. Amen. Let's move on to this third pillar, and that is the best teacher's best books method. And we like the best books. We emphasize the best books versus, you know, buying 10,000 schlocky books. My recommendation is to pick 30 or 40 classics, but not just classics, but classics written by Christians. Be sure that your best teachers are the teachers that have a Christian worldview. Don't choose the classic writers who have a non-Christian worldview. Pick rather the great Christian writings that are the compendium of the pastors and teachers that God has given the church over 2,000 years. And so that's why we're always looking for the best of the Christian classics. For eighth grade, for example, we're pulling from Robinson Crusoe. We pull from The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom.
Mm-hmm. The Holy War.
The Holy War by John Bunyan.
Yeah.
And people say, well, what are these books? They're not written by transcendentalists. They're not written by the Greeks. They're not written by the unsaved, non-Christian people. Well, we don't want our children sitting at the feet of non-Christians. The best writers are the best teachers that advocate their particular worldview. I just recommend those Christian teachers, those Christian writers, to advocate the best worldview, and that is the Christian worldview. So let's give our children the best teachers, the best books, and then worship and life application.
Number
we
four.
Talked about that as well. That's the fourth pillar of worship and life application. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Let's be sure that we're incorporating prayer and worship and praise into the science classroom.
And it's these four components of education that we tried to bring together in the Kickstart curriculum, which was really designed to address this issue of, you know, what do I do in life after homeschool? And this came out of my personal experience of, you know, trying to navigate the mentorship-based approach or, you know, higher education or some blend of those two. And the reality is regardless of whether or not you do college may be for you, whether or not you do, you know, junior college, community college, or mentorship or entrepreneurship, whatever it might be, you need to integrate some mentorship no matter what, right?
Yeah.
And so what this Kickstart program does is provide an A to Z process for young people who might not be clear on this mentorship thing. It's just a step-by-step approach with 29 video training sessions and a workbook, assignments to go along to help you walk through the process of first defining goals for your life according to what God says is important. Defining some goals, breaking it down to what are the key components of knowledge, character, and skill that I'm going to need to pursue that call of God on my life. And then who in my community, the wise men, the godly men and women in my community that can help me walk toward those goals. I'm going to establish mentoring relationships with them. And then I'm going to apply those lessons that I learned to daily life in real life application. That's what the Kickstart program is all about, helping you do.
The Christian Discipleship Curriculum and the Kickstart program, which, by the way, is part of the 11th grade kit for the Christian Discipleship Curriculum. All of this available at generations.org. Now, you may just want to take a piece of it. You don't have to buy the whole kit. Now, if you purchase the whole kit, you get the best price. So keep that in mind as well. We give you very good prices for this curriculum. Imagine educating your children on a mere $120 a year or $140 a year. This is basement bottom pricing for curriculum for your children. But you can also pick and choose. You could do some cafeteria style choosing of one curriculum over another as part of your children's education. So check it out at our website. If you have children, and you want to give them a distinctively Christian discipleship approach, Check it out at our website, generations.org. That's generation.org for the Christian Discipleship Curriculum. This is Kevin Swanson and Danny Craig in studio. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next.